out of joy. God is a God of encouragement. God is a God that's there when you need Him the most. Amen. And how many have needed Him this week? Wonderful thing. Now I want to look at in Romans 12. I want to go to Romans 12 and discuss just a little bit of that area. Now remember last week, and you know, if you haven't heard it, you can always go online. You know, my goodness, just like Facebook, you know, you can put stuff out there, and it's even tagged into Facebook. But online, we've got the web thing to where you can listen to messages from the past weeks. Last week, I shared on the foundation, I shared on the chief cornerstone and things of that nature. And it was all kind of looking at like the cornerstone and the giftings and being ready for His return. Amen? I mean, there's a lot in His Word to look at that He wants us to understand, and it's kind of hard. It's like, man, you could just start coming series after series of all these things. But today I want to look at the responsibility that we have. And we're looking in Romans 12, 6, but I'm going to just start in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're always out there looking for, what's the will of God in my life? What's the will of God in this situation? What does God want out of this? And I would say probably sometimes we don't always know what the will of God is, other than, I just want the will of God to be done. Because I know that His ways are higher than mine, that He knows the beginning to the end. And I'm just a snapshot of what's going on in my life and understanding what's taking place and what I'm actually going through. But I know that my Creator knows the beginning of my life to the end of my life and everything in between. Talks about that like on headstones where it talks about, you always find out the year that the person was born and the year that the person died, but really their life was in that dash. What is in the dash of that person's life? And as we look at these things in our life, we want to be found doing what the Lord has asked us to do. And a lot of that comes down to the point of, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what Jesus prayed. That's what we need to pray. We need to trust and believe that God is still God. And that God still has a reason and a purpose for us here today. Don't give up. Don't listen to the news and throw it away and say, life isn't worth anymore. I'm just going to destroy it. That we find that happening so much in our society today, especially in young children, as all ages, but we find it so much in young lives where these young lives have so much to live for, and we find that generally we find them being taken out of life early because they suicide and kill themselves, because they become distraught, or they're not, something happens in their clique, or something, and some of them look at society in general, and then they figure out, what's the reason or hope of going on? It's depressing. We have to pray that as school starts this year, it was a sad time last year in our community when school started the week before, I think, and then the first week of, there was like 2 to 3 suicides, a couple in Janesville, and a couple, or one or so in Milton, a community close by. And it was young lives, guys. Middle schoolers. High schoolers. I truly believe that was the enemy taking these people out early, of course, before their time, because children aren't supposed to die, you know? What is happening, you know? What talent and gifts that person is not going to be able to use because their life got to the point to where they were hopeless. There was no reason to go on. They had some disagreements with friends, and they just thought this was the easiest way, or they, whatever the case is, there's a multitude of reasons and things that just when you think you understand that part of life, of somebody taking their life, you don't understand it. There is no set course of timing to say that this is what's going to happen. It's just all of a sudden, sometimes it just comes out of the blue, and all these things. But it's like, what is happening in our society? Well, young and old, we find that we have so much taken upon us that it weighs us down. Has anybody ever been weighted down with the worries of the world? I have. Well, Pastor, does it happen today like it did in the past? Not as much. Maybe not as much, or maybe not at all anymore. Because as soon as I begin to feel that way, I quickly turn it over to Him. But as we look at this, His Word is saying, do not be conformed to this world. Do not conform yourself to what's taking place. Set your mind, set your sights, set your spirit on the things of Him. And do what He's asked us to do. And then it goes on. I want to start in 3 then. For I say, through the grace given to me, this is Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now we got to be careful because his word is telling us, don't think so highly of yourself, Tim. Oh, you know, Tim, you've got a great this or that testimony, and I've placed you as a pastor in a church, and this was as far removed of what you were going to do back when you started your life's career. But don't think so highly of yourself. And I can't do that. Why is that? Because I've got to rely upon God. It's not me, it's God. It's not you in your life, it's not you doing your thing. It's God doing His thing through you if you have it right. Amen? If you're living your life the way God wants you to live it and doing and honoring Him with your life, then you're obeying part of His will in your life is to be able to, He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. He wants to speak through you. There's a purpose and a reason for each of us, even here today. And hopefully we'll get into that. So as we read and going on down, He's given to each one a measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Hallelujah. You got to have diversity in the body of Christ. You've got to have people with different types of talents and giftings for the body to be complete and for the body to fulfill what God wants to fulfill in it. We cannot all be pastors. We cannot all be prophets. We can all be, encouragers. And that's what we want to get into in this area of Romans as we get into some of these things and teaching or looking at what these are. But each one is important. And that's where it's saying, don't think of oneself more highly than the other. I, as a pastor, I can't think of myself more highly than the person that's a prayer, that loves to pray, or one that's in our body that's a teacher, or one that's an exhorter. We are all here, myself included, doing nothing but what the Lord has asked us to do to be part of His, everybody say, living body. Remember last week we talked about, in Peter, talked about living stones. In the foundation as we cornerstone, and He's put with us as living stones. I'm so glad that you're living, aren't you? And we're a stone in the thing of the wall or the foundation of what God is about, with Christ being our chief cornerstone, with Christ being the foundation that we build upon, not on our own talents, not on, don't remember last week I said, don't put your don't build the foundation that you're on the church. Don't build it on Harvester's Church. Don't build it on the pastor. Don't build it on the programs of a church. Don't build it on the TV evangelist. Don't build it on anything other than Christ, the chief cornerstone. Because if you don't, you are setting yourself up for failure. Because all those other things can shift and change and move and not be there. We find that today in our churches so many times when a pastor has been at the church and he retires or goes on. Those that were there that have been sitting under him for maybe a decade or 8 years or 20 years, the people feel lost. A new person comes in and they go, oh, they're just not like the other, they're not like that pastor I had for 20 years. Good. That's okay. You've got to be there because God has placed you in that church to be a support and a part of that church. You know, and by that you support the pastor, but you support the pulpit, who's ever here. Now, as long as they're preaching the gospel, using the word of God the way it is, you need to stay there. You don't want to leave just because a new pastor comes in, you know. That's not what it's all about. Because that just tells me you were only there because you liked that man or that woman. You weren't there because they were sharing the word of God and you were getting something out of it. You just loved them charismatically or what they were, and you just felt like, oh, I just have something, you know, we jive together or something. I don't know. Well, we find that even in our community at times when churches go through changes and things, that people all of a sudden they just for some reason that gives people a reason to leave the church too, I think. When the pastor leaves, I'm leaving, you know. It's an out. I'm out of here. I'm going to find something new, you know. You only go when God says it's time for you to move, right? You don't go out thinking like, you know, I think I'm just going to start traveling around and just touring churches and see what I can find or just what's going on. Because then you're really not going to be connected to any one place. And if you're not connected to any one place, you're just out there going through life and picking up this and picking up that and picking up this and picking up that. And you think you're doing a wonderful thing. But it's so important, really, if for individuals and to hook up into a church to where you find where you're being fed, where you find that the Word of God is being shared. We got some visitors here today. If this is it and this is what, you know, the Lord has brought you, praise God, come back next week. If you don't feel it here, praise God, He's got another church out there for you. You know, we've had visitors come and they'd always leave by saying, well, we're just out trying to find the church. And I go, well, if this isn't the one, I said, don't give up. Keep looking and allow God to draw you to that body that He wants you to go to. Because I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you need the church as much as the church needs you. It's a two-way street. Without us coming together corporately, putting our gifts and talents together, the work of Christ is not going to fulfill what it wants to do in that particular region, in that particular town, wherever it might be. Now, God is God and He can do anything He wants, but He works through who? The church. Us. And we as the church comes together in a building that we call a church so that we can kind of meet together and get our game plan, maybe hear the word, maybe be encouraged. And that's what we're going to get into on some of these areas about you and a church and why it's important for you to find a church. Because everyone here has a talent and a gift. Amen. Isn't that great that God has put in a gift of a talent or a gifting in you? And they're wonderful. And you best place to use them and to unleash them and to allow them to grow is at a church where you're a part of that body. Amen. I like to be a part of something, don't you? Man. So don't think of yourself though highly than others. Keep it, you know, balanced. God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Then goes on in 4, for as we have many members in one body, but not all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individually members of one another. It is so important that we have one another. It's lonely out there. When you're out there by yourself, it's lonely, isn't it? Now you're living in maybe a facility that's got a lot of residents, or you're in a home and you're in a neighborhood that's got a lot of people. Maybe you're even in a big family. I don't know. But even that, you could be lonely as an individual, right? Because something's not totally connecting. Something you don't feel fulfilled. Has anybody at one time or another in your life felt like you weren't being fulfilled? Or that you weren't fulfilling what God has asked you to do? Or you just felt like, there's got to be more to this, God. What is it, Lord? And I would encourage you to just sit before the Lord and meditate and pray and listen a lot. Read His Word and just find out what the Lord is telling you to do. Where to hook up to, where to be a part of His body, the church, that living organism here. Christ died for the church. And the church needs to be strong. And our churches of today are getting weaker and weaker. Do you not agree? We look around and we see some wonderful churches and wonderful bodies of believers. Even the bodies of believers, they get into something and contentiousness and they separate and they split and they go through this and they go through that. And rather than working together and trying to forgive and get rid of that offense, they allow that to fester and just begin to work in a little leaven. Leaven's the whole loaf. That whole body of Christ just begins to just becoming unraveled. And when that happens, the power of that church is diminished. When that happens, God is not going to be able to work as mightily through that congregation because there's inner strife, there's bickering, there's resentment, there's contentiousness. There's all these things that part of our human makeup, right? If I don't like something, ooh, I'll let them know, you know. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, and there's been times like that for me. I go, I don't understand it, Lord. They've got to be wrong. And then I go, but, well, maybe, Lord, if I'm not seeing it the right way, maybe you need to enlighten me. Because there it is. Don't think so highly of yourself, Tim. There might be something that they're onto that you're not seeing. So don't get that high and mighty like, oh, look at me and who I am in Christ. You need to step back sometimes and say, Lord, am I not seeing this clearly? Am I not truly understanding what's being taken place here? And the Lord will take care of that for you. If you just open yourself up, He will speak to you. He will direct you. He will help you. Amen? We are one body. Individual members, but we're one body. Anything on a sports team, anything in the military, anything as a group, anything in company and corporate level, if you don't come together as a team, okay? If you don't come together as a team, you will not succeed. You will not fulfill. You will not complete the assignment before you. You might do okay, but you won't get the total thing, you know? It's so important to come together, even though you're individual, but you come together as a member of one body, of one another. Then in 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to... Anybody been given grace in here? I probably had some grace yesterday that He gave to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that grace, you know. Given to us, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Use what? The gifts. And it goes on to say, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, the one who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We look at that in Romans 12, 4-8 that we just went through and read, that God gives us gifts so that we can build up His church. It's all about His church. It's not about me. It's not about you. You've got to get that out of your thought process. You got to tell the devil, stop telling me it's all about me and that it's me, myself, and I. It's not. This is all about the kingdom of God. So many times I lift up in prayer for this property and for the land and for all of this out here. And I've said before, I declare this and I name this and I say, Lord, this is Your kingdom property here on this earth. Why is that? Because He has placed a church here that used to be a school building that He let the people in the school system build the building. And way back in 1958 and 59 when they were building it, God already said in 1983 there's going to be a church there, but they're going to build it now for the school, and it's going to be a school for a season, and then I'm going to take it over to be part of the kingdom property. Amen? Amen. And that's what He did. And that's where we're at. Well, you're saying you're such a small body. God doesn't see us as a small body. God doesn't see the church big or small. He sees a church that's hungry. He sees a church that's obedient. He sees a church that's speaking His truth. He's finding churches that will stand on His word. He's finding churches that are willing to not compromise against the things that God says is sin and to be able to be strong in those things and still walk in an area of compassion and love and grace and mercy. You know, it's not that we're going to call people that what you're doing is sin, but it is sin. But, you know, God calls it that. But I'm going to love on you just like Jesus Christ would. So it's a part of everything. And it's just a totality of what God is all about. And so we in the natural, and myself, I can get in that line. I can look at times and go, where is everybody, Lord? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they here? Where did they go? Why did they leave? Why aren't they here now? Where are they? Blah, 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 blah. We can start all these things barraging us, you know. I remember about 2 years back, we had the chatterbox thing we talked about. Oh, man, that chatterbox comes back on me real fast sometimes. It's not that when these things come upon you that it's bad, but it's if you allow them to fester and draw you down, that's when it gets to be bad. If I begin to realize that I'm starting to hear this chatter in my head like numbers and this and so-and-so and where are they and what about that? Oh, they didn't like what you said last week, so now they're gone. And, oh, don't step on their toes and things like that. Those things will just drive any one of us crazy after a while. You know? It's like, yeah, it's probably right. Yeah, I feel like I got voices in my head, you know? Tim, what did you do wrong? Damn, you shouldn't have done that. Damn, damn, damn. I recognize that, and hallelujah, that I can say, Lord, wait a minute. Time out. Time out from the world. Lord, I love You. And I'm not perfect, and the Lord knows that, and I hope you guys realize that too. But I got to go, Lord, what is it? Where are we to go? What am I to do? How are we to accomplish this? And even though these things, and we look at numbers and all, but I'm going to tell you, it's pretty awesome to where the Lord has brought us to say, well, this property is free and clear of any ties to the world of finances. That this is totally a debt-free property of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And that's awesome, guys. You got churches out there with 3,000, 5,000 people that are so deep in debt of billions of dollars that I don't know what'll ever happen, you know? So it's just here, numbers are numbers and people are people and all that. You know, here's what we've got to find, and I've got to find myself, and I trust you find that in yourself individually, that we just walk this out to say, okay, Lord, what do you want out of me? How can I serve you? I don't need to be, you know, this person or that person. Now, my flesh would love at times to be this or that maybe because I think that's where success is. But then, no, Lord, I've got to step back from the world's ways of calling success. And I've got to look at what God calls success. And usually, you know, Jesus was very successful with 12 people. I mean, in today's society, he wouldn't even be able to hold nothing. If you said, well, Jesus, how big is your church? Well, at the time, I got 12 followers. Well, you can't have a church. You might as well just forget it. So it's not in the numbers, it's in the power. It's in the abilities to give God his ways in your lives. So God gives us the gifts so we can build up his church. I want you to use your gifts to build up his church. You individually, but for Harvester's Church. Even in the outreach yesterday at the back to school bash, what little gifts we had, a couple of people, that was okay. But that was using some giftings and talents and people just willing to be out there with the people. Now, you've got to realize that all gifts and abilities, they come from God. Not everyone has the same gift. That's good. Know that you can do best. Know what you can do best and do it. Not all of us, and that's where it's about, where everybody's been given different gifts and talents. You know, there's some things that I can't do that you out there can do a whole lot better, and vice versa. And that's why he brings us together as a corporate body. Thank you, Father. Knowing what you do best and do it. Dedicate yourself to God and not for your own personal success. We see a lot of people out there, even in the church world, where they look at their success by their salary or programs or size or whatever the case might be, and they call that a success. Success in man's eyes is totally different from the success in God's eyes. Do you agree with that? God's idea of success, I think, is one that says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the success that God is all about. Well done. You're good, faithful, and you're a servant. I'm serving him with the talents that he's given me, with the strength that he puts in me, and with the hopefully that we can be his mouthpiece in a place like this church where he speaks through us. Speaks through leadership that comes up here and shares once a week. Speaks through Sunday school hours or whatever. Speaks through those that share teaching in the Sunday school hour for the adults. Each and every one that has stepped up and shared in that area. It's those talents and gifts that I'm pulling upon. That's why I love it with the leadership group that I've got here that I can call upon them and they can handle things and they can take care of things. It's not my church. I just get the privilege and the honor to stand before you to say thank you for having confidence to at least come every week to listen, you know, and that we can honor God. But this church is much more, even the small church is much more than what I am. This is a group effort. It's a team effort. Amen. Team might be few in numbers, but I'm going to tell you, our team is strong in unity, working together, and doing the best we can for God. Know what you do and best and do it. Dedicate yourself to God and not for your own personal success. Use your gift fully. Not just now and then when you like to use it. And that's the thing we've got to look at too. Don't just, you know, I've got a gift but I just don't really feel like using it today or this month. I'm gonna use it next month or something like that. You know, then you're kind of being stingy with what God has given you. He's looking for you to be all in all for him all the time. Amen. Because I'm glad that God isn't like that with me. I'm glad that God says in his word that he never slumbers. He's always there. He's always listening. He's there, ever present. Hallelujah. Because I might need him at 2:00 in the morning. How about you? I'm glad God, you know, if I need him at 3 o'clock and I, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, I just want to pray. I need this or pray this for a person. And I get a busy signal going to God. God says, ah, it's 2:30 in the morning. I really don't feel like being up right now. I've got other things that I want to do in this world. Tim, I'm over on this side of the country now. I just don't feel like it. We've got people in our churches that have wonderful gifts and talents, and they use them at times, but then other times they bow out and they say, well, I don't really feel like doing it now. And then a few months goes by, and now I'm ready to step up. It's hard to run the body of Christ like that. It would be hard to run a corporation like that if you would look at the nuts and bolts of a corporation, that all those in the key areas of what that company runs on, if they only came to work and really produced 2 or 3 times out of the month. Man, that company would not go far. The church will not go far if we've got our key players and people that come. And I'm saying I've got a leadership team, but I'm also saying you as the body of Christ out there have talents and giftings that can be used in the kingdom of God. Do you agree with that? I hope you do, because you do, and that we can put these talents together, and it doesn't require a lot. Yesterday wasn't hard at all. I don't know what the hardest part was. Probably the hardest part for me was lugging those sound systems. Man, those things were heavy. I was like, ooh. All portable and all, but, you know, lugging those things. But, you know, at first I thought, well, this should be pretty simple and easy to accomplish. And I'm kind of one like that. I want to serve God and what God asks us to do. And then you try to look at it and say, well, how can we do it strategically to where it's not, you know, a burden on any one person? How can we, what is the old saying that even the world says this, don't they? That many hands make light the work. The world understands that. Church also understands it. And so we could just go out and have that thing yesterday. I got there at about, I don't know, it started at noon. I got there at about 11 or 10 to 11 or something like that. Everything was set up and ready to go, and they were packing the bags and stuff, and boom, done. And after that, it was fun because you just stand there and be a blessing. It's fun to be a blessing. It's just fun to give things out. And so it doesn't take a lot. And sometimes people think that. They think, oh, if I get involved in that and do that, it's going to require, oh, man, 18 hours of my time. It might only require 2 hours that week, or maybe yesterday, 3 hours, or maybe 4 from set up to time you leave. But 4 hours out of the whole week of hours is not bad to give them to God, is it? And that's what God's looking at. He's just looking to see if his people, are you returning back what I'm giving to you? Are you being a supporter? Are you being a help in that body of Christ? Hallelujah. Use your gift totally, fully. Not just when you feel like it. Now, also, if I'm looking at 12:6, it's having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. And it's going on. God's gifts will differ in power and effectiveness, all according to his graciousness and wisdom. Everything that, it's all up to him anyway, right? It's all God. It's not me. I just need to be obedient. And so let's look at some of these things as we need to wrap up here. Well, I'll kind of leave it right about there. I want to, maybe next week, we'll jump into the giftings of, like that of a prophet and the servant, teachers, encouragers, and those things like that. But to get this understanding that God has given us gifts, spiritual gifts. The gifts are placed in the church as resources to be utilized at the point of need for ministry in the body. In 12:6-8, these passages unfolds the Father's gifts given to each person as a means of affording fulfilling purpose in life. Isn't it, you know, if I had to ask everyone that has helped or served in some measure of ministry, when you walk away from that and think back, have you felt yourself fulfilled? Have you felt good? And it's not, again, it's not pridefulness. It's not to say, ooh, look what I've done. But it's those times that you can fulfill that and come away from it saying, wow, Lord, that felt good serving your people. That felt good giving out. You know, we have our food pantry every month. It's really good to serve these people and give them items of food and to encourage them and to pray with them and to have them come. And we pray for healing. We pray for health. We pray for kids. We pray for jobs. We pray for multitude of things these people come to. And we've had success in some areas of prayer not our success, but God's success for His glory, that we just want to be that conduit to say, okay, Lord, here's a need of this person. Let's pray about it. And it's amazing how you hear their stories months later or a year later saying, you know, that grandson that you prayed for me about back when he was giving me such a problem and I was watching him because his parents, you know, left town and I was watching my grandchild and he was just raising all kinds of cane. You know, we prayed and you prayed and he finished high school and now he's in Black Hawk Tech and he's getting a career lined up. It's like, hey, God is good, isn't he? And then you go from that saying, wow, Lord, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of your ministry. It's an honor, guys, to serve God, isn't it? It's a privilege to see Him use us and to work through us, through prayer, through support, through encouragement, through us just sometimes being there to listen to people. A lot of times your communication to someone is so important when you don't say nothing, that you just sit there and let them unload. And then they go, thanks, Linda. I feel much better now. You go, good. What did I say? You know, you're going, I don't know. But just be in that ear. Because, see, I think those are the same times. Do you ever feel that way when you talk to Father God? When there's a lot on your mind, a lot of things happening, and all of a sudden you just start unrolling and just start talking to God. God, this is happening in my life and I just don't understand it. There's so much going on. I just wish there was something that I could do, and I just don't see the end from the beginning. I just don't see any way out of this, God. I just really have a hard time, Father, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse, and I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, you go, wait a minute. God begins to answer in that small voice, or that encouragement, or He brings to light a scripture that you've read, or He might bring a light back to you of a personal testimony from someone that you heard the last couple of months or something. And you go, wait a minute, so-and-so was going through that and you took care of that. Sometimes it's just being able to unload all your hurts and concerns and all those things. And just like in our earthly times of doing it, when we're able to do that with God, how wonderful it is. And that we feel refreshed after that. And we go, oh. Anybody prayed and had God take things off of you that you all of a sudden could breathe easier? You just felt it all of a sudden, just like that. It's like, wow, Lord. That was a weight off of my shoulders. And it talks in His Word. Cast your burdens on Him. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Our Father God does not want you walking around this life with burdens and things weighing you down, because He knows it's not good for you. He doesn't want you to deal with stress. He doesn't want you to deal with worries. He doesn't want you to deal with all these things that a lot of times you have no control over anyway. So why worry about it? His Word says, why worry about tomorrow? For tomorrow has its own worries. You just deal with today. Well, if I'm going to deal with today, you know what I'm going to deal with? Turn it over to God. And say, it's in your court. The ball's in your court, God. I want to be honored and just glorifying you. And I can't do it if I'm worried about this, that, and the other. Thank you, Father. Cast your cares upon Him. So next week we'll kind of look